And we know that we are born of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We see that truth every day of our lives, don't we? The whole world is wicked. We look and we see such things as immorality, lies, violence, crime, corruption, hate. We see individuals involved in all kinds of lawsuits, divorce, wars, false teaching, division, murder, and that list is just a short one, isn't it? The year is 1965. Two writers, one by the name of Burt Bacharach and another by the name of Hal David, wrote a song. They immediately took that song to a woman by the name of Dionne Warwick and asked her to record the song, and she refused. She read the lyrics, read the song, and she said two things about it. Number one, it is too country. Number two, it is too peachy. Her words, not mine. Too peachy. So Mr. Bacharach and Mr. David went to another woman by the name of Jackie DeShannon, and she released the song in 1965, and it became a hit around the United States. Dionne said, uh-oh, I've messed up. So the year is 1966, and they ask her to record the song. And the song is very familiar to all of us, What the World Needs Now. If you're very old, you could sing the song, couldn't you? I've had two or three singing it for me this morning. Because in the song, they give the answer, do they not? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Think about that. Folks, that was 60 years ago. And the world needed love, sweet love. The world still needs a lot of things today, doesn't it? And therefore, I've titled this particular lesson, What the World Needs Now. 30 points. Because we need a lot. No. Number one, the world does need love now, doesn't it? Every relationship that is positive, every relationship that is successful, every relationship that thrives and survives is based upon the foundation of love, folks. Jesus tells us that love of God is the first commandment. In Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. But he continued and he said this, and the second is likened to it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love of God, love of neighbor, the first two commandments. Wow. James tells us about the royal law in James chapter 2, verse 8. And he says, the royal law very simply is this, love thy neighbor as thyself. We also have Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love. It's interesting that almost everyone would tell you that they love everybody. Wouldn't they? Especially if you're a Christian. Do you love everybody? Oh yeah. Love everybody. And deep down, inside of us, we want that to be true, don't we? But folks, love is much more than what we sometimes think it is. And the problem is there are many people in our world who have absolutely no clue what real love is. It's more than a word. It involves a series of actions that we are to perform one to another if we are going to truly say that we love that other person. Paul tells us about 16 qualities of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 13 verses 4 through 8. What I want to do very quickly is go through all 16 of them. And I want us to look at the contrast between what Paul says and what the world does. Point number one, Paul says, charity suffereth long. Our world is extremely intolerant of individuals. And sometimes it happens to Christians, does it not? There's just a person that just gets on my nerves. And we're very intolerant of that individual. Charity is kind. But you know, we have a tendency sometimes to be very mean to one another, don't we? Especially the world. The Bible tells us to envy not, and yet the world is extremely envious, especially of individuals who excel, who do well, who seem to go beyond my station in life. Why do they have all that stuff? Why are they so blessed and I'm not? Envious of others. Paul tells us that charity vaunteth not itself, and yet we live in a world where self-exaltation is prominent in almost every area of life, isn't it? Paul says that charity is not puffed up, and yet pride and ignorance and haughtiness is exemplified in many places in our world. Paul says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. If there were one word to describe much of the behavior in our world, it's just completely indecent, is it not? Paul says that love seeketh not her own. And yet we live in a world of selfishness, don't we? It's all about me. It's all about what I need. It's all about what I want. And until my needs and my wants are satisfied, nobody else gets much. Paul says that charity is not easily provoked, and we have a lot of quick-tempered people today. Charity thinketh no evil, and yet there are many individuals who plot and they plan evil every day of their life. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, and yet we find individuals in our world taking pleasure in iniquity, don't they? Paul says that charity rejoices in the truth, and the world doesn't mind lying and deceiving and telling all kinds of falsehoods to us. Paul tells us that charity beareth all things. We don't bear very much. We just look for the faults, don't we? And constantly are pointing them out. Paul says that charity believeth all things, and what do we want to do? Rather than believing in somebody, we just want to put the worst construct on everything, don't we? Paul says, love hopeth all things. And yet sometimes we find that, especially with someone we don't like very much, nothing another does is right. No hope for him. He's just an awful, terrible person. Charity endureth all things. We have no patience. We won't suffer anything, hardly. Love never faileth. And in the lives of some people, love is never present. You see, Paul's list is totally different than the practices and the habits of this world. What the world needs now is what? Love, sweet love. The words of the song are not wrong, are they? I find it interesting that even we as Christians make all kinds of excuses as to why we don't have to love somebody else. Really? Even though Paul tells us that without love, we are absolutely nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. Folks, the opposite of love is hate. That's the only way you can say it. If I don't love, then the opposite of that is what? Hate. I want you to listen to what John says about that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. Wow, that's pretty strong language, is it not? He is a liar. Notice what he goes on to say. For he who loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? What the world needs now is love. Number two, what the world needs right now is care. Care. There are two definitions that we could put upon this little word care. One of them very simply is this, to have a regard for another. That's care, is it not? And then there's a second definition, and it goes a lot farther than this one. It's this, to have a regard for another that expresses itself in action on the person's behalf. Let's give an illustration. Homeless people. We see quite a few of those around the Jacksonville area, don't we? When you hear the word, what do you think? I see a person standing on a corner, holding a sign, begging for some assistance. Most of the time, they are pretty unkempt, aren't they? You'll see them sometime coming out of the woods, and it's in those woods where they've bedded down for the night. Doesn't matter whether it's pleasant, whether it's rainy, whether it's cold, that's where they sleep. Most of them are pretty thin. If you really got to know them, they'd have a lot of health issues, both physically and mentally, wouldn't they? Now, I don't know about you, but when I just hear the word homeless, I have a regard for that individual. It hurts me to think that there are people in our society who are out there like that, and I feel sorry for those people, don't you? That's the first definition of care. You care for, oh yeah, I care for. What about the second definition? To have a regard deep enough that it springs forth in some type of action to provide and assist that individual in their affliction and in their need. That's the tough one, isn't it? Which one of the two definitions is needed most in our world? That's an easy one to answer, isn't it? Just feeling sorry for somebody and hurting a little bit when you pass by, what good does that do anybody? Doesn't do anybody any good. Only the care that generates action on our part helps another. We have some examples. The Good Samaritan. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? He had compassion upon that man he saw half dead there in the road. The Bible says this, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. There's our word, care. He took care of him. The next day, he went even further, didn't he? And he provided more care for that individual if that care was needed. Seven actions that the Good Samaritan took on behalf of a half-dead man on the side of the road. That, my friends, is care. isn't it? The Apostle Paul commended the church at Philippi for their care of him. Especially on this particular occasion because they heard Paul was suffering in prison. He'd been arrested for preaching the gospel of Christ. And notice what he says. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, he says, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. They didn't just write him a letter and say, Paul, we heard you're in prison. So sorry to hear that. No, they sent a man by the name of Epaphras, one of the members of their congregation. And guess what he did? He brought Paul a gift, didn't he? And Paul says this. He says, I abound. I am full. I have everything that I need, having received of Epaphras the things which you have sent to me. You see, these people cared, didn't they? Care involves a lot of selflessness, folks. Care involves a lot of giving. Care involves patience. What we mean by that is enduring long with another person. Care involves vulnerability. In other words, we put ourselves at risk to care for others, don't we? Listen to this quote. Caring isn't just a feeling. It's a pattern of behavior that makes another person feel seen, safe, valued, and understood. Great definition of care. What the world needs now is love. What the world needs now is care. What the world needs now is sacrifice. Sacrifice. This particular quality is tied closely to the previous one, isn't it? I ask myself this question, what in the world is sacrifice? And it involves three things. Listen to the first one. A sacrifice is something important or precious to me. Think about that. Something important or precious to me. Sometimes we give away broken beds to Goodwill, don't we? Got a leg off of it. Got some of the boards under it broken. Mattress doesn't lie down very well. You know what? That bed's not precious to me. It's easy to give that away, isn't it? That's not a sacrifice. It's not precious. What if I went out and bought a $5,000 bed? Just got it. Then find out somebody needed a bed. Me, I don't know if I can give that one away. $5,000? This is that Sleep Number bed I've been wanting all my life. You see, then it becomes a sacrifice, doesn't it? Second point of a sacrifice, it's given up. That's part of sacrifice. Something that's precious, something that's dear, something that's valuable. I'm willing to give that up, but notice this next point. For the sake of gaining something or allowing something to happen that is considered more important. Sacrifice. Wow. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And note what he did. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Did Jesus give up anything of value? He first gave up equality with God in heaven, did he not? And then he gave up his very life on this earth. Notice what the text says. And hath given himself. He gave it, did he not? He gave it. And it was an offering. And it was a sacrifice for us. Wow. What we ought to do is put another word in front of the word sacrifice. And it's this, a willing sacrifice. A willing sacrifice. Willing means cheerfully and eagerly compliant. I want to do it. It's not something I'm forced to. Nobody puts my hand behind my back and makes me. I'm not under threat. I want to do this. I was thinking about this point and Simon of Cyrene came to mind. Y'all remember him? Jesus is carrying his cross down the Via Dolorosa, and Simon just happened to be traveling through the country, and he's just standing there. And all of a sudden, the Roman guards come over to him, and the Bible says this, they compelled him to carry the cross of Jesus. It wasn't like he ran over there and said, "Hey, dude, you want me to help you?" He didn't say that. They made him carry that cross. I'd like to talk to Simon one day, wouldn't you? Simon, how willing were you that day? I didn't want to do it at all. The old heavy cross had blood all over it. Crazy man. I don't know who that man was. I was scared to death for my own life. So I carried the cross, but I didn't really want to. He made a sacrifice, but was it willing? Go back and do some study about the citizens of the United States during World War II. Willing sacrifice. You know that? 407,316 deaths of young men from our nation who died in that war. Wow. That's a lot of sacrifice, isn't it? There was the rationing of food and gas. 3 gallons of gas a week. Now you try that one on for size. We go out and be buying some scooters or something. 3 gallons a week, folks, is all they let you have. 1/2 pound of sugar. Now I realize today we think that's a lot of sugar, don't we? Back then, that wasn't much sugar. They put a little sugar in everything, didn't they? Take that much in a gallon of sweet tea. Women entered the workforce, which they had never done. Prices were capped on companies. Wages were capped. This is all you're going to make for the next 2 or 3 years till we're out of this war. Little recreation time once you started work. And long hours every day. They had what were called metal drives, and children were involved in many of those metal drives. They'd go out and find as much metal as they could bring in and recycle it for the war effort. You ever heard of a victory garden? 45% of the nation had gardens in their backyard to feed themselves during the war. It's unbelievable, isn't it? You see, we didn't grow up in those years. We didn't have to make those sacrifices like that. And so today, we almost don't even know what it means to make a little bit of a sacrifice. They gave up a lot. A lot. And so did Jesus. Didn't he? Folks, his sacrifice was willing. He says it. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. For this commandment my Father hath given unto me. When Jesus went to the cross, he did it because he wanted to. We need people in our world today who are willing to make willing sacrifices for important things. Number 4, we need divine guidance and direction. Jeremiah put it very plainly in Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You let a man direct his own steps and he don't have a clue what he's doing. And you see that all the time in our world today. We need divine guidance. And my friends, that's why God has given us this book to guide us. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Notice what he says. For the commandment is what? For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And the reproof of instruction are the way of life. The patriarchs instructed their children in the ways of God. Moses instructed the children of Israel in the ways of God. The prophets of Israel, about whom we've been reading in our study of 1 and 2 Kings, they were instructing the nation of Israel. Jesus instructed His apostles. The apostles were told to go into the world and instruct the world, were they not? Philip instructed the Ethiopian eunuch. A man by the name of Ananias instructed Saul of Tarsus as to what he needed to do to be right with God. Peter instructed the household of Cornelius. Aquila and Priscilla instructed a man mighty in Scripture but wrong by the name of Apollos, and two ladies, Lois and Eunice, a mother and a grandmother, instructed a young man by the name of Timothy in the Jewish faith. There is a need for divine guidance in our world today. Somebody say, well, what does divine guidance do? How does it help? We could do a whole lesson on it, couldn't we do it? Moral clarity, folks. There is right, there is wrong. There are truths and there are untruths in our world today, and we're blurring the lines in many of those things, aren't we? Foundations are built upon a ledge of truth. That's what Jesus teaches us in Matthew the 7th chapter. He that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a man which built his house upon a rock. He says, we need firm foundations in our institutions, don't we? When we know the truth, there's the inability of anyone to lead us into lies and errors of wickedness. There's less fragmentation of important institutions, and there's less reliance upon man-made institutions and institutions built on human wisdom. We don't put our trust in that mess. We put our trust in who? We put our trust in God. That's who we put our trust in. What the world needs now is Jesus. What the world needs now is Jesus, don't they? John's gospel is clear in many passages. Jesus said this, "For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8, verse 24. Jesus said this, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." To Thomas, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Listen to him, "For without me, ye can do nothing." I want you to think about a world without Jesus Christ. What does it look like? A life, a world without Jesus. It's a life that is full of sin, a world full of sin, isn't it? It's a life lived without any real purpose. You take Jesus and Christianity out of this world, our life just doesn't have much purpose to it. It's a life lived without lasting value. I die and that's it. It's a life that's lived without hope, and even if I do something here, it's a life that only has a little bit of value during those 70 or 80 years that I tread this globe. Whoop-de-doo. We need Jesus, don't we? What the world needs now is love. What the world needs now is care that responds in action. What the world needs now are individuals who are willing to sacrifice for causes and for other individuals. What the world needs now is spiritual guidance found in the pages of God's Word. What the world needs now is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What the world needs now, Christian mothers. See, you thought I wasn't preaching to mamas, didn't you?
It's Mama's Day. He's not even preaching a mama's sermon.
I know how people are. That's why I put this slide in here. I'm kidding about that. What the world needs now, folks, Christian mothers, isn't it? The reason I say that is this. It's because mothers provide those five things that we just talked about, don't they? Mothers give love. They give care. Mothers make unbelievable sacrifices. Mothers are the ones who teach their children the Word of the living God. They are the ones who help their children come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I read a quote the other day and I thought it was interesting. It's a Spanish proverb. So it comes from the Spanish folks. And they're very Catholic in nature. I want you to listen to the quote. An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. Wow. An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. See, I was glad it said priest on there, not preacher. But it's true, isn't it? And it's amazing to me that we put so much pressure on the church to do things for our children that the home was intended to do. We turn to Proverbs 31 and we read about a virtuous woman, don't we? Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Go read that woman about that woman. And guess what she is? She is a mother and she is a homemaker and she cares deeply for her family. Deeply. Verse 30 of that same chapter says this, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. We appreciate Christian mothers who've raised us the way we were supposed to be raised, who sacrificed for us, who helped us to come to know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We can't be thankful to God enough for that kind of a gift. And if you are that kind of a mother, we appreciate you very, very much. The world needs a lot of stuff today, doesn't it? And folks, it desperately needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tells us what to do to be saved, what to do to be right in the sight of God, what to do in order to get to heaven in the hereafter. The steps are simple. God made them simple. Believe in my Son. Die to a way of sin. Confess me before men and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll arise a new creature. You'll arise a member of the family of God. You'll arise a person who is absolutely cleansed of all sin and all iniquity. Dear Christian, do you need to repent and ask God to forgive you? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?